Hello, this is Pamela Badilla, WGXC 90.7 FM, community-supported, listener-supported radio for Columbia and Greene County. Many of you have probably heard about the Upper Hudson Promise Neighborhood Project and are very much involved now in hearing news and updates concerning the implementation of this hugely anticipated grant. As we're now in the planning phases, we're trying to figure out what it will take to show that we're able to implement a program of community enrichment and support. You've probably heard very much about the Harlem Children's Zone program as well. It's been called the source, the inspiration, even as much as the model by which Hudson's project will be taken into effect. Well, I'm here to talk to you about some of the highlights of that project, which has been gaining over the years immense critical acclaim throughout the United States and abroad, and rightly so. This phenomenal Harlem Children's Zone is a collective of programs initiated over a 40-year rapport between three socially conscious young men who'd gone to college in Maine together and considered the needs of their community. These guys realized that through social justice and community building, they could help break down the cycle of ignorance and degradation which had been plaguing the Harlem community. Led by the prolific Jeffrey Canada, along with Razuli Lewis, George Caldoun, and now many, many others, the program of the Harlem Children's Zone assures enrichment for the lives of children basically from birth through college and beyond. Developed and implemented for now about 20 years, this Harlem Children's Zone demonstrates remarkable progress, all based on believing in the children, each and every one of them. Developing the community and engaging in a fully integrated pipeline of support are also very strong elements, using a rapport with every single aspect of the community, stakeholders in the success of the youth. This is Razuli Lewis, who is the director of the Practitioners Institute and our chief presenter during the three-day conference at the Harlem Children's Zone.
The fact that we go through a lot of pains to make sure that the folks who are working with our kids are the right people. It's not just simply that they got a degree from Stanford. That's not what qualifies you to be here. So what qualifies you to be with our kids is that A, you want to be here with our kids, and B, that you actually believe in our kids, all right? That you think they can learn, that our children, just like anybody else's children, given exposure and opportunity, will do just as well as anybody else's kid, all right? So that's what we do to make sure that, first off, it's become appropriate. But the idea that, you know, the history that's being taught in our schools is lacking in so many ways, then it goes back to the scholarship of the person who you got in front of them. What kind of a curriculum do they actually have? Are they inclusive? Is it telling the whole story? Is it telling just that one story that I learned? I didn't know about certain things until I got to be a high school student and actually did research on my own. Mm-hmm. We're not interested in that. So we're going to have conversations way earlier than that, and starting with the folks, being talented folks who understand that, you know, you can't tell half the story, right? You've got to be inclusive. So you have all kinds of things woven into our approach that includes, you know, people or being, culturally competent to actually talk to kids about the culture that is their culture. We have K through 12, right? In this building, though, we have upper elementary, middle, and high school, right? But that's not an easy tell to say it's where it starts at. So it's designed for middle high school. But as we begin to develop this model out, we're filling out all those spaces. So when we don't have the cooperation that we were guaranteed by the public school where we're co-located, then we use this building for what we have to use until we fill it out. If you came here in the 90s and you asked anybody in the community where the problem is in Harlem, they would say the public schools. Public schools, public schools. The mayor was saying that, the city council was saying that, the newspaper was saying that, every, you know, parent was saying that. Schools is like, you know, you know, if that's true, then what we should do is close in on ourselves, and they did. They make basically a little circle the wagon activity. Y'all stay out there, and we'll do our business here. So that has made it difficult to collaborate with them, even when you offer them free stuff, right? Because they don't know if you're coming in to expose or to make some claims that they don't believe is true. So they're just keeping you out. So anytime I talk about difficulty, it's because we have to work through that. Because clearly, they're not the only problem. They have underperformed, and nobody can debate that. The data's out, right? It's right there in front of you. But it's not simply them, right? But their choice to react was close in on themselves, which makes it really hard now to penetrate, to even add value. Just come in and offer them free stuff, like, no. Right? So when I say that, so every time you make a relationship with them, their interest is first, right? And in their minds, their interest first means their interest, the system's interest, specifically the children's interest, right? Not necessarily translated the same for everybody.
If you're just tuning in, this is Pamela Badilla, WGXC 90.7 FM, your community radio for Columbia and Greene County. We're talking about the Harlem Children's Zone Project because it has been named as the inspiration and guide for the Greater Hudson Promise Neighborhood programs, which are to be implemented beginning next year if the grant should go through. And it's interesting to know more about this program, which has been called the model by which Hudson will be, in effect, considering to progress on this project. You'll hear now from Marilyn Joseph. She's a senior manager for the Community Pride Project at the Harlem Children's Zone.
Really identifying the existing leaders and bringing them to the forefront. And again, that goes back to what you were talking about, Russell, this whole thing about respecting who's there, right? So even though they may not be the true leader, right, you know, the true leader has people that come along with them, recognizing the fact that they've identified themselves in that way and bringing them to the fold. Conducting, you know, community mapping. And so I kind of joked about my, you know, haphazard kind of way of just kind of drawing the buildings, but really mapping the community, what's there, right? You know, and what programs do exist, what is not there, right? And what may be opened up as part of our assessment of just what the needs are for that community. Really hosting meetings in the community, right? So this thing about coming to 35 in this building on the fifth floor, this is not how we do business. Right, we do the meetings, you know, we're doing 119th Street, we're right on 119th Street, right? So you have to be right there within the community, unafraid, and able to really do the work and really having something to offer, right? Not just a bag of goods or some, you know, nice words, right? And so making sure that these meetings also happen in larger scale, but also the one-on-one meetings. So going back to the Ms. Roses of the world and Ms. Pearls, having those one-on-ones, really validating, hearing closely what people need to bring to the table, and using our referral process when necessary. So we don't have all of the answers here, right? We get the answers, and then we'll take you to where it needs to go, and making sure that you have a referral source that's, again, equal or, you know, same level of services. And then last but certainly not least, again, we, in the last statement, it's kind of funny because we keep saying it over and over, true leaders have followers. So you have, this is about a group of people coming together. It's not any one person ever doing this alone, but that we are hopefully incorporating a opportunity to make sure that there are some additional supports. And then at some point that leader has to leave, right? And so how do you make sure that you're also incorporating new leadership?
The Harlem Children's Zone programs feature five principles of success: serving an entire neighborhood at scale, creating a birth through college pipeline of best practice programs, building a community among parents, children, and institutions, rigorously evaluating their programs for continuous improvement, and cultivating a culture of success within the organization. This Harlem Children's Zone is so successful because of their humble approach to the enrichment of the lives of children from babies all through college and beyond. The initiation of all their projects is considering the belief in the children first, with no opt-out for failure. In effect, everyone on board looks at the child's success as their own. Tune in October 29th for the afternoon program with Sarah Kendall, during which we'll have an in-depth report about that three-day conference, the participants who attended, and some of our reflections on how Hudson's Promised Neighborhood can really draw a lot of inspiration from this wonderful, courageous, even audacious project of the Harlem Children's Zone. Until then, this is Pamela Badilla, WGXC 90.7 FM, your listener-supported hands-on community radio.